us your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a Wednesday afternoon. Brought to you by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
And that's what Kitchens wanted today. A lot of chum.
Husky basketball not good. 71-64 loss to NIU. The Huskies shot 27% from the floor despite getting many, many second chances. They out-rebounded NIU on the offensive glass 27-4 and still lost. They got NAU tomorrow at 7:30 over on 1090 KJR.
Hawks and Pack Sunday. Pete Carroll says D. Eskridge ready to go. Russell Wilson does not need a wrap for his surgically repaired finger. And the Pack have activated left tackle David Bakhtiari.
And the Kraken tomorrow, 7 o'clock against Anaheim, 6:30 puck drop pregame show. Sorry, right here on 950 KJR.
It's time for our weekly conversation with college football analyst Petros Papadakis.
Not that I'm a smart guy, I'm stupid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys.
41 yards.
If you're hurt in an accident, call Sweet James right away at 800-500-5200. Sweet James will be sweet to you, but tough on insurance companies that will bully you.
Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Ushalom.
And now, with Petros, here's Dave Softy Mueller.
Losers.
Here we go, boys and girls. Buckle up. Wednesday means one thing, a chance to talk to our friend from the Petros and Money Show, the Prince of Pigskin, the Messiah, the leader of sports talk radio in Southern California, our buddy Petros Papadakis, brought to you by
Sweet James Bergener, the dense beard of justice, the greatest personal injury attorney that ever lived, at 800-500-5200. Don't let an insurance company take advantage of you. Call the dense beard. Let him come through like he has for so many others. Awarded best attorneys in America, 800-500-5200 or SweetJames.com. SweetJames.com.
41 yards.
Well, big boy, things have escalated quickly up in the Pacific Northwest.
Why am I big boy? Just because you look like an incense stick.
I don't even know what that means, but the basic question fans have up here is, what the hell's going on, and when will it stop? What the hell's going on?
Well, I think you can see it's been a product of the whole season. It wasn't any different than what you've seen all season. Most all the victories were concerning. The loss is more concerning. The loss to Montana, shocking. And I think overall, for Husky fans, it was like watching somebody who was really new at the job, who was making a lot of mistakes. The lack of offensive and defensive identity, so that's just team identity, was shocking.
Yeah.
And I think we all thought Jimmy Lake was the right guy for the job. You could go back and listen to your show, me on your show, read all the columns. The national sentiment was that Jimmy was the right guy for the job. And it was all endorsed by Chris Peterson and lock, stock, and lead pipe. Let's go. And it's been anything but what you thought it would be. And I don't think we'd be having, I don't know if it's fair or not, but I don't think we'd be having the conversation about what happened between him and the player.
Yeah.
If things had not gone so poorly up to this point. And it's not just the product on the field. I think it's in dealing with their employee. The university probably saw some things and has seen some things that they don't like. The way the Oregon situation was handled was embarrassing. And then you go out and lose the game, and the egregious way the game ended and the decision making there, it was, I think, eye-opening to a lot of people and made a lot of people feel like maybe we need to take a step back and reevaluate the hire we made.
Well, you've given us a buffet of topics to choose from right there with that answer. So
I think they all have something to do with what's happening right now. I don't think the thing with the kid happened in a vacuum. And, you know, I don't want to be self-righteous about that, because I clearly, and most of the guys you talk to, come from a different football time where I have seen and done things through football and around football that would curl people's toes today and would be unacceptable in society. I've seen coaches do things that are not acceptable. I've been beaten over the head with clipboards, whistles, face masks grabbed in front of, you know, hundreds of, or, you know, thousands of people at least. You know, I remember Lou Holtz grabbing the face mask in the 90s, and that kind of ended things, right, as far as what happens between players and coaches in a game. And I don't want to act self-righteous about that. We don't often see it. It never surprises me, but we don't often see it. And I think Jimmy was more along the lines of, this walk-on's not going to screw it up for me type of thing.
Right. No, totally. He was going over there to try and defuse a situation and made it even worse on him at the end.
It gave people an opportunity to do what's happening.
Well,
now,
for sure. And, you know, obviously now, Petros, I mean, you're reading the same stuff I am. There's smoke everywhere. John Wilner saying it's a 99% certainty that he's done at UW. Reports about negotiations of a buyout. And, you know, I said it Monday that I just don't know how he can come back with the label of a guy that was suspended for hitting a player and expect to go on the road and recruit.
Yeah, I don't know how you fly in the face of that. I can't say anything other than along the lines of what Wilner said. I haven't done my meetings. I mean, I have the game this week. We're doing Washington, Arizona State. And I've been through the wars. This type of stuff is not a big deal. And the players will go out and play. Not that it's not a big deal, but we know how to do the game. I think Fox does a much better job overall of handling situations like these. What we do is kind of just tell the story of what's happened during the week, what's going on, and then we get down to the business of calling the game. And if it's a blowout game one way or the other, you know, of course we're going to maybe revisit what's going on in the program, but we do a much better job. I think ESPN would exploit the situation, you know, and there is a fine line between exploitation and just telling everybody what's actually going on in a program and then using that as a backdrop to actually call the game. I'm so amazed with what some of these crews think that they can do during a football game and get away with it.
Like what? What do you mean? Example.
I mean, I watched the Arizona State USC game. I had to prep for this game. And I just, you know, I hate it when broadcasters are like, well, I watched the tape or I watched the film. It's like, shut up, you self-righteous a-hole. You watch the broadcast so you don't sound like as much of a douche as the guy doing the broadcast before you. You're a broadcaster. Coaches and players should watch film. God. Anyway, I was watching the broadcast, and they did everything but the game. You know, when Jaden Daniels had the ball, they were talking about trying to get Dante Williams the USC job, of all the most ridiculous agendas to have on a broadcast. They, when USC had the ball, they were talking about Jaden Daniels and Herm Edwards' relationship. Half the time, they were talking about the Fox that came on the field. The other half of the time, they were talking about daylight savings. Like it was infuriating. Like, if there's a big third down, cover it. Tell the audience, you know, that it's a big third down. It just drives me crazy the way these, they're like all drunk drivers.
Yeah.
And the production is complicit because they're talking about daylight saving, and here comes a graphic. And it's like, holy God, call the game.
You actually planned that.
Yeah. Just call the God game. I don't care if you're above it or you think that you should be doing something better. Call the game. Your assignment is to call the game. And yes, you don't want to insult people by saying too much, because they have pictures and they can tell what's going on. But not everybody knows it's a big third down. That's a wrong tone.
Well, what's the proper tone this weekend? Because obviously
to
this
say
is
what's happening, identify the people that are in charge and Bob Gregory and the play caller and all those things.
Yeah.
And say it's been a rough week for these kids. Probably show the incident once and go.
But the other issue, the other story of the week is that John Donovan is gone. I mean, let's face it, man. He was dead man walking after Montana. There's no question about that. And then the quarterback situation, who do you start at quarterback? If you're Junior Adams and you're the interim OC and you're Bob Gregory and you're the interim head coach and you don't know if Jimmy Lake is back next weekend or ever at all, do you make changes as you would want to make them at quarterback, or do you make changes as what Jimmy would want you to do at quarterback?
No, no, you shoot your shot. Shoot your shot, brother. But, you know, it's interesting because I've seen this obviously play out many times in many programs, and you do games and you talk to programs in all kinds of different transitions. I remember talking to Ty Willingham, you know, after he was fired, but still coaching.
Yeah.
You know, different stuff like that. So I've been through this before. And, you know, just this year, we were talking off the air. I mean, this is Arizona State's third straight interim, right?
Yep.
They had Dickert, who kicked their crotch. They had Dante.
Yep.
Williams.
Yep.
And then now they have Bob.
Yep.
So... And those are all different stories, right? I don't think the Washington State program you could ever say has been in chaos this year. You can't say that. They've been, I mean, their coach has made some errors, but they've been up and down and playing hard football for each other throughout the year. I wouldn't say that they've been in chaos as a group. I would say USC has, and I would say Washington has, based on the losses and the level of expectation at those teams. Now, I remember when USC lost or fired Lane Kiffin in the middle of the year, and I remember when they fired Sarkisian, or he fell apart in early October or whatever that was, and when Ed Ogeron took over, you know, the team went a different direction. And even when Clay Helton took over, who just was a stable man, you know, that sudden change did the group good. And you knew the group was talented and you knew they could do things on the field, much like this Washington team. And they go out and do it and win some games and finish the year with a good feeling. Now, sadly, you know, Ed Ogeron never got hired. They ended up going with Sark. And then Helton ended up getting hired, even though that probably should have never happened. In fact, it should never have happened, obviously. So a team can go in a different direction when you make a sudden change, but this is your chance as Bob Gregory after all these years to make the decisions yourself.
Good.
Go make them.
Good. Good. I like it. I'm with you. And I would go with somebody else this weekend at quarterback. If that's O'Brien or Sam, really, to me, doesn't matter. I just think that you've given Dylan a shot, and it's not working out. Maybe a different offensive coordinator will help him more than we realize, but I think it's more than time to go with somebody else.
Are you taking back your Hoth base from Dylan?
Absolutely not. Dylan and I will always have that together that we can share, and our lightsaber collection, and our mini bust collection from episode 6.
I have a mini bust.
We can always have that.
I have two mini busts, but they're not Star Wars.
Petros Papadakis with us. So you saw Wilner's report that more of an opinion piece where he said Jimmy Lake was 99% gone and Justin Wilcox will be hired as the next head coach at Washington. How would you feel about Wilcox coming up here?
You are all business today.
Well,
I mean, I'm not going to take you any way you haven't already been. You know, I'm not going to walk you down any path that you haven't been down.
Am I being too serious for you today?
No, okay. I'm going to answer your
question. Hey, William Michael Johnson Wilcox back.
Yeah, thanks.
How's that sound?
Like normal. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Justin Wilcox. Don't you?
But.
I would embrace him as the head coach at Washington. Frankly, I think he deserves better than what Cal does for him year in and year out.
You mean the university or Berkeley?
I think both places.
Okay.
I think Cal's a hard place to coach.
Of course.
No matter who you are.
Yeah.
Cal is hard. You know, they should have never even let Bruce Snyder go all those years ago. Like, Cal has a hard time staying out of their own way, even if they do have a good coach. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I love Cal. It's a place that I embrace, and its flaws are what make it special in some ways, but that doesn't make it any easier for Wilcox to do his job. Now, that being said, if Wilcox got the Washington job, the most important thing in the world is who the OC is.
Correct.
Like, who is he going to hire as the OC? Because he has made two not-so-great hires at Cal with Bo Baldwin that didn't work out, and they ended up getting him another job and moving him along. And Musgrave has been arguably worse. And, you know, I think Garbers is a better player than those coordinators have shown over the years. And I think their offense had a better chance of being. Now, they can say, look what happened to us with COVID and my God and all. They have plenty of excuses, but he's got to hit a home run.
Yeah.
With the OC hire.
Who?
I mean, that guy's got to be identified. He might be at some place coordinating at, you know, Ball State or something like that.
Yeah, the next, you know, Chip Kelly, for example.
Somebody like that. You have to find somebody that's going to give your offense an identity that works along with your identity and the way you like to coach.
Well, I don't mean to sound...
And I think that happened with Jimmy. He didn't do that, obviously.
Well, and that to me is actually one of the bigger talking points is how in the heck did he end up with Donovan in the first place? You know, we know that Donovan was not his first choice. There were guys like Kellen Moore that are out there, and Kellen Moore has certainly made the right call because he's one step away from being a head coach in the NFL, for crying out loud.
Right, but that can go wrong in a hurry, too.
Sure, I mean,
there was a time where Graham Harrell was next, that like people thought he was going to be the next head coach at USC. Graham Harrell is probably going to be an OC back in Conference USA, where he belonged.
Where he belonged?
Well, that's where he was.
Oh, I love you. God, I love you.
Where was he?
Well,
he got the job.
He was in Conference USA, but you're acting like he's not good enough for anything else besides Conference USA.
Like he should have gone to a more air raid friendly place.
Well, yes. They play the air raid in the Big 12.
Well, that's more friendly then.
Don't they?
Where?
Oklahoma did.
That wasn't an air raid. They had a fullback named Seth Luttrell.
Oh, God. Well, it's a mess up here, and I'm just hoping that the mess is cleaned up and decided upon sooner than later, because this is this kind of no man's land that you're in, all these rumors and reports. And
you know it damn well what's happening.
Well, I think I do know what's happening.
Yes, you do know what's happening.
I think
to ride the wave of the flagship wave, and I get it.
I think you know what's happening as well.
I work for the Dodgers.
I just got done telling you on the air, and I said it Monday. I'll repeat what I said 2 days ago. I don't think they can bring him back after suspending him. I think that he's ruined. His reputation is ruined. Honestly.
I know.
He needs to go move on and start afresh.
I love it. It's like we're like that show Network.
Somewhere else.
I'm freaking out on the air. But, honestly.
He can't recruit with that hanging over his head.
I know what Jimmy will do.
He can't do it. They got to move on.
I know what Jimmy's going to do.
And they're likely going to move on. The only question is, does it happen again? Does he coach again this year, or has Jimmy Lake coached his final game at Washington? To me, that's the question.
I know what he's going to do.
What's he going to do?
He's going to go to Alabama to coaching rehab.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get another job.
Probably, yeah. And because somebody else will get a better version of Jimmy Lake.
Yes, and they'll all write an article. He'll have a chance to prove himself again.
Yeah.
And everybody will in The Athletic will write an article about how much he learned from his mistakes at Washington and all this and that. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a great redemption story. But as far as Seattle goes...
We're screwed. Just like the new Heisel situation, we're left holding the bag.
Oh, come on. Gilbertson was a wonderful replacement.
Well, he did the best he could, but he fell on the sword. They went 1-11 in his second year.
You think when Neuheisel's watching TV and he sees like the Win Terry Bradshaw's money commercials and the DraftKings and the all the gambling stuff?
Yeah.
How do you think he?
He's embraced it. Petros.
How do you think he feels?
He comes on the air with us once a week and gives a lock of the week.
I know he does. But don't you think he's probably like, that's total BS?
Yes, it was a nothing burger then, it's a nothing burger now. But Neuheisel was, He was let go.
He pissed off the AD because he,
he lied to the AD. All that stuff. But, you know, he's now back.
Well, you know, he's a little shifty, you know.
On our air giving out picks every week.
Old Ricky New is a little shifty.
Does pretty well, as a matter of fact. All right, well, have fun Saturday calling the Arizona State game. You know what? By the way, if you guys bring up daylight savings time on your broadcast this week, and I swear to God, I will come find you, and I will end you.
There's not going to be a graphic, I can tell you that.
If you bring up any of that. All right, go get him. We'll talk in a week.
Look.
We got
to
go.
If it's 50 to nothing, no, you got to go. If it's 50 to nothing, I might tell a story or two.
All bets are off.
Maybe about a certain radio guy.
That's fine.
All right? If there's a big third down and the game's within 20 points, I'll be right on top of it.
Yeah. Well, feel free to even make some stuff up.
Today I'm hanging up on you.
That apparently is a deal now. You heard Steve Levy was making up stories about Najee Harris on Monday Night Football, sleeping on his floor at his dorm room in Alabama, and it turned out to be bogus.
Those guys are really trying.
Oh, God.
Those are like the guys that like make sacks when you're not in full pads.
All right. Good luck this weekend. You're doing the game with Faust again, is that right?
No, Dan Helly.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Somebody who actually knows it's UW and not
You know, poor guy.
We'll see you. I got to run. Bye.
Thank God he doesn't know that.
Petros Papadakis.
Oh, you can tell your story about Levy, but I can't say anything.
Petros Papadakis with us. We'll get a break. Big thanks to SweetJames.com. Kevin Harlan coming up 5 o'clock tonight right here on 950 KJR. You'll love.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR, and free on the iHeartRadio app.
So you fired up? You excited? You fired up for? He's back.
Me on Easter weekend.
Oh, Mr. Unlimited?
Mr. Unlimited.
Welcome to my happy place.
Look what the hell she's doing. She out here pregnant at all, trying to take a photo.
Do you think
when Russell called Odell, reports according to Jordan Schultz.
Yes, which voice did he use?
Which do you think he called as Mr. Unlimited?
Mr. Unlimited.
Odell. What's going on? Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
Welcome to my happy place.
I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, I honestly, and I will say something, and there will be people out there that will not believe me, and that's fine. I love the guy. He's the greatest quarterback in Seahawks history. I don't want him to go anywhere. I really don't. Once you find a quarterback like that, you gotta embrace it. You gotta caress it. All right. You gotta hang on to it. You gotta nurture it. You can't let it go. I think if they lost Russell Wilson, I think the Hawks would be in a world of hurt if they lost their quarterback.
I agree.
But God, is he a douche? He is the most narcissistic bastard I've ever seen on social media.
But you know
it's
what?
It's unbelievable. If he played for somebody else, and you and I have had this conversation before, Jackson, back me up here. He was the quarterback of the 49ers, we'd be killing him on a daily basis for being such a goober. But he's our goober, so I embrace the guy.
I totally agree with you, but you used two words there that have already been used this week to describe Aaron Rodgers. And I think Russell is very, very different than Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I totally agree. Aaron Rodgers, and this is not even because of the vaccination. Forget that.
His
personality was already established way before this controversy. And people that have met him will tell you that he's kind of a jerk.
I watched that show on FS1. I always forget what it's called, with Acho and Marcellus Wiley.
And
they had Greg Jennings on, who played with Aaron Rodgers. It devolved, I kid you not, into a 30-minute ripping on the guy's character.
Rodgers?
Yes, and it started with the vaccination thing, and then it just devolved into stories about Aaron Rodgers, including one where... on the sidelines after a game against San Francisco, Aaron Rodgers, in front of Greg Jennings, said to one of the 49ers, "Hey, you should pick this guy up in free agency."
Wow. Yeah. Well,
teammate.
Yeah, he comes across as a giant a-hole. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, somebody did the story a while back. I don't know if it was Bleacher Report or whoever. Charles Robinson had that big expose on him and the issues he's had with people. And he's, you know, him and his family have had issues, which I always feel weird talking about people's family. It's like almost taboo. Like your buddy Patrick on the PGA Tour,
right?
Patrick Reed, yeah.
Yeah, Patrick Reed.
He's got all the issues
and
with the
his
with
issues
his
with his parents and,
stuff, yeah.
and all. I always feel kind of dirty talking about that. But he does come across as an a-hole. Russell Wilson's not a jerk.
Correct.
Russell Wilson's not an a-hole. He's just a giant walking goober. He is. He is the Urkel of NFL quarterbacks. It's unbelievable. And every week he's like trying to pick a new path. What do I want to do now? What kind of personality do I want to have this week? So, again, it is who he is. It's not a negative. It's just one of those things you can rib a guy about. But I said this on Twitter today, and I want to get your thoughts on this, that I believe that the NFL trade deadline obviously is come and gone, okay? That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
Correct.
There's no team in the NFL from here on out that will add the type of talent the Seahawks will add to their roster. Unless somebody else can add a guy like Russell Wilson, and can somebody else add a running back like Chris Carson. Right? I mean, these guys are already here, but they're not playing. So look at all the active rosters right now around the NFL from last Sunday, the 47, 48 guys that played last weekend. How many teams between now and the end of December will add a Russell Wilson or a Chris Carson to their roster?
None.
Unless Derrick Henry gets healthy, right? Correct. But I thought he was out for the year.
Well, they say potentially playoffs, but he's not going to play a regular season game.
So if they add him, then whatever. But that's the kind of situation you're in. So I think everything is going to be different for this football team starting Sunday. Even if they lose to Green Bay, I think things will be different. And on top of that, guys, the seventh team in the playoff changes everything. Right now, technically, you're three games out behind the sixth seed, which is New Orleans.
Right.
Because you're two games back in the loss column, and you lost to them, so they have the tiebreaker. That is what you would be in, that situation.
You'd be in a world of hurt.
Now you're a game out with the seventh team.
And it really is the difference between 10 and 7 and 9 and 8. 9 and 8 in a six-team scenario has almost zero shot.
Right.
9 and 8 in a seven-team scenario, particularly this year.
Absolutely.
I think 9-8 gets in, even if you maybe have it to win a tiebreaker over one other 9-8 team to get in. But I think that's probably the most reasonable record for the Seahawks right now. I would say 9-8 is probably the most realistic record.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Carolina looks like they're about to fall apart, right? The Seahawks look like they're about to get better.
The Saints have Trevor Siemian for the rest of the year.
The Saints are a problem. You might be actually fighting for a couple of playoff spots, not just the 7 seed. The 6 seed could be in play. And here's why I bring it up, because I can hear people, and I totally get it. Look, I'm not in just to make the playoffs. Nobody wants to sit here and say making the playoffs and losing in the first round is a good season for the Seahawks, not when the expectations were what they were when the year began. But I'm telling you right now, with the parity in the NFL, can you guys imagine a wild card team from at least one conference making the Super Bowl because of the parity in the NFL? Maybe more so in the AFC than the NFC, to be honest with you. But Arizona, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Dallas, the Rams look like the top five.
Well, the Rams are a wild, probably going to. Yes, I could see them.
But those are the top five teams in the NFL.
Right.
So, or the NFC. I'm telling you, if there's ever a year where a wild card team, and we've seen that before, the Giants won the damn thing as a wild card. The Steelers beat us as a wild card in 2005. With the parity in the NFL this year, if there's ever a year, again, where a wild card team could make the Super Bowl, it's right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, the people, I understand it's been a bad first 8 games of the season. There's an obvious reason why it's been a bad. I mean, this team's 5-3 if Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback of this team. I don't think there's any question about this team is 5-3 on a 2-game winning streak if Russell Wilson was the starting quarterback.
Meaning they beat the Steelers and they beat New Orleans.
The Saints, of course. They scored 10 points in one game and you know, and lost in overtime at Pittsburgh. You don't have to compete at this point to get into the playoffs with Arizona, with Tampa, with Green Bay, with Dallas. You don't have to compete with that. Tell me what you think when you see the Falcons play, the Bears play, the Vikings play, the Eagles play, and you tell me that the Seahawks with Russell Wilson aren't way better than just mentioned?
I think they are better, but I'm also curious to see what the offense looks like with Russell, because the point we've made before, third quarter of the Ram game when Russell busted his finger, which apparently was akin to losing a leg, at least if you believe his social media accounts, they had 7 points when Russell Wilson went down. They had large gaps of offense where they did not score. Minnesota, Tennessee, things like that. So, look, I just know this. I know what this offense looks like without Russell Wilson because I've seen it. and I don't like it at all. And I'm looking forward to the number three getting his goober ass out there on Sunday at Lambeau. We're going to break. Testimonials 49451. Thoughts on Jimmy. Thoughts on the Hawks. Thoughts on the Husky basketball team last night. My God, are the Kraken terrible? Are they bad? Are they a bad hockey team? Coming up on 950KJ.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fane.
What's that, Dick?
All right, hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. Danny Cannell, former Florida State quarterback, is with betonline.org. Or is it betonline.net? I think it's betonline.net. Anyway,
I think you're right.
Courtesy of Bet Online. He'll join us on the radio show. I want to ask him about Dick's Michigan-Penn State factor fiction pick this week. Whose side is he on that bad boy? What does he make of the Jimmy Lake situation? UW-ASU this weekend. 49451, lots and lots and lots to get to. On the text line, the Coors Light text line, keeping Seattle chill. Jackson, what do you got?
Petros has no idea what the word chaos means.
Wow. I think Petros knows what chaos is all about. Right? I mean, he played football and he got two kids at home running around going crazy. He knows what chaos is all about.
Yes, absolutely.
I think he's trying to say that the Washington State thing was kind of a thing that was just kind of there. You go play football, eventually, one way or the other, it's resolved.
It wasn't explosive.
Right.
Like this
and
was.
Then the Washington thing was like, boom!
Yes.
Right? Like a friggin' fertilizer bomb went off on Montlake. And I, what the hell is going on? I mean, you went from, it's like I told you yesterday.
Yep.
As Carson Bruner is running down the field with that interception on Saturday. Heading toward the end zone.
Program-changing win coming, Jackson.
Okay.
Program-changing win.
I'm telling you at that exact moment in time. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. And I say, oh, by the way, as Carson Bruner is running towards the end zone, tomorrow John Donovan's getting fired. And on Monday morning, Jimmy Lake is getting suspended. I mean, what the hell? We went from this to that in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That didn't even happen in the Willingham era. The Willingham era took it was a long, painful, slow death in the Willingham era.
Oh, my God. All right, what's next?
Flabbergasted how Jimmy Lake pushing a player has changed the narrative so much.
Mm.
Yes, he whiffed on Donovan, but didn't Sark whiff on Nick Holt?
Sark did whiff on Nick Holt, but Sark also took over an 0-12 football team the previous year. And he fired Nick Holt, right?
Yeah.
But again, I mean, yeah, look, I think it's like a cocktail of excuses and a cocktail of reasons why Jimmy Lake is in the position he's in right now. I think there are still some Husky fans that would be okay with Jimmy Lake coming back. I'm just very curious to think about what his situation's like as a recruiter when he has to go on the road with the label of the guy that got suspended for smacking a player.
Yeah. I think
what does that mean?
I think you are on the money in your comparison with Sark that he will come out of this smelling like a rose. Jimmy Lake will go to the SEC, maybe Alabama,
yeah,
make multi-million dollars a year as the defensive coordinator and be one of the most high-profile coordinators in all of college football and probably eventually get another shot at a
absolutely
head coaching job. But
he's
if he
young
does,
enough,
even if he doesn't.
He's young enough.
Even if he
yep
doesn't,
yep,
he could make $3 million a year for the next 20 years as a defensive
well
coordinator in the SEC.
What did Petros say Alabama is? It's coaching rehab.
Yeah.
I mean, Sark was there. You know who's there right now? As Nick Saban's offensive coordinator? Bill O'Brien.
Oh, that's right.
Who has run out of Houston.
Good Lord.
Goes to Alabama to rehab his image. And guess who's going to be talked about if Jimmy Lake gets fired at UW to take his spot? Bill O'Brien will be on the list. What's next?
If they bring Lake back, it's one step closer to another 2006, 2007, then 2008 like run.
Yeah, this guy's just done that. And I can see that. I can see how a lot of people are like, the alarm bells are going off, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. What's happening in recruiting? What's happening with the offense? Why is this quarterback getting worse? Why is the offense getting better? Why does he keep saying things that make me angry, right? Why is he going after players on the sideline and looking like he's lost his temper? Why are all these things happening? Sometimes you get to a point where you just kind of tell yourself, you know what? I feel pretty comfortable saying this is not going to work. But maybe it could work. But I feel pretty comfortable saying it's not going
but
to.
But different reasoning than Willingham. Willingham was lazy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Jimmy Lake is not lazy. There's a completely different reason why Jimmy Lake is not succeeding.
I
he would never fail to Willingham's
agreed.
Level.
Totally agreed. And I've said that before. I honestly think the only reason why people compare the two is because they're both black. That's it.
I think some people do that.
There's no other reason to compare Tyrone Willingham to Jimmy Lake because they're two totally different people. I mean, are you kidding me? We are talking about Jimmy Lake getting too emotional, right?
Yes.
Tyrone Willingham was the Knight of the Walking Dead.
We are also talking about Jimmy Lake being one of the most successful defensive coordinators over the next 15 years in college football.
Right.
We weren't saying that about Willingham, about anything he did once he got fired.
I don't like you talking about me like that. I'd like you to stop.
Did I ever tell you the story about his kid, by the way?
I'd like to go hit my six iron right now.
Ever tell you that story?
190 yards.
Okay, I'll tell you later. You missed your window. No, you missed your window. What's next?
This is a sad fan base. I hope you enjoy being losers again. Washington State is gonna whoop that ass again.
Oh, man.
Hey, maybe. I mean, look, I said it yesterday. If there's ever a time where Washington State's gonna win the Apple Cup, it's right now. And if you can't get her done in 2021, it ain't never gonna happen for you. Honestly, I know you people have an interim head coach. We have an interim head coach. If you can't get it done now, you may as well just say the hell with it for the rest of your life because it ain't going to happen. This is the year.
I don't think Cougar fans should ever talk smack until they actually win one. But if you want, if you want to dance on a grave right now before the game, that's fine. But I will echo what Dave just said. This year or no year is it getting done. You better do it.
Which, I got to be honest with you, makes me a little bit nervous.
They're fat, dumb, and happy and entitled.
Or 55. Kevin Harlan will join the radio show coming up next on 950 KJR.
You are a dirty.